Hello and welcome to the mini episode of The Roofers Project, your fortnightly guide to whatever we are finding interesting at the time. My name is Trevor Holland and you will soon be hearing from my good friend, co-host and the ambassador of cult movies in Brisbane, Christian Fletcher. But what do we have in store for you this time around? I have a bit of a look at history and about a very familiar-sounding debate that was going on over 100 years ago in Australian government. Christian goes for the fun factor, and he is trying to get us all to dress up rather nicely and do some interpretive dancing. It's not as weird as it sounds, okay? Christian will also let you know about some of his upcoming events. We'll give you some details about our next redeeming features cast, and a bit of a rundown on some of the changes that are coming after the horrible, horrible technical issues that have plagued us over the past few weeks. In the meantime, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Here we are on the eve of a federal election in Australia, where we get to pick the party that's going to represent our country for the next 3 to 4 years, depending. Now, a lot of the discussion has again turned to telephone infrastructure and communication within Australia, and the whole debate as to whether or not we should get fibre to the premises, which is the opposition's preferred option, was a preferred option when they were in government, but politics got in the way, or fibre to the node or multi-technology mix, as it's being called, by the current incumbent government. Now, those who have been following this know that this debate has been raging on through four prime ministers. We've had four prime ministers in the time that they were seriously looking at upgrading things to fibre. But is this a recent phenomenon? Well, funnily enough, we can actually make a comparison to a debate that was raging in Parliament in the year 1910. Gizmodo Australia, quite some time ago, but it's still relevant now, dug up a Hansard extract from the 23rd of November 1910. So almost 106 years ago, when debate was going on about the cost to replace the outdated iron cables used for telecommunication with fancy-smancy copper. What happened in this particular exchange that gets pointed out is we have a discussion between James Matthews and Thomas Brown, MPs, about the upgrade. James Matthews said, "Some time ago, I met a gentleman who came here from the old country who ridiculed the expensive practice of using copper wire when iron wire would do." He then talks about the costing and the fact that the iron is cheaper and the copper prices fluctuate. Thomas Brown, MP, says, "Copper is used for greater efficiency." Do you think logic is going to work there, Tom? Let's go back to Jimmy Boy. James Matthews, MP. "The practical men in the department, not the theorists, think that nothing is gained by using copper wire for short lines. Some of the iron wire lines have been in use for 30 years and give us as good results now as copper wire lines. Last year, an iron wire line, put up when I was a boy, to connect the age office with Mr. David Syme's house in the Yarra at Hawthorne, was still giving satisfactory results, although for a good part of its length it ran parallel with the railway line and was exposed to the smoke of locomotives, which was prejudicial to its life." He then went on with many more examples of how iron is good enough because it's still there and it's still working. So, again, those who have been following the debate realise that the big cost over whether or not we should pay a bit extra to get upgraded telecommunication system all the way from the exchange to the home are pretty much pulling out the exact same arguments. Copper is good enough. Copper works. We'll never need that sort of capacity. It goes on and on and on. Personally, I think it's time for politicians to upgrade their arguments. But oh no, these arguments have been good for the past 106 years. There's still life in them yet. For f***ing sakes, politicians.
Thank you. On the 30th of July, we celebrate the birthday of English singer-songwriter Kate Bush. Kate Bush has been an icon since the release of her debut song, Wuthering Heights, and the subsequent album, The Kick Inside, in 1978. She's since gone on to be dubbed the Queen of British Pop with such hits as Running Up That Hill, Cloud Busting, This Woman's Work, and Babushka. As part of Shambush 2013, a Kate Bush tribute event which happened in England, a group of over 300 fans dressed in red dresses and reenacting Kate Bush's iconic Wuthering Heights video all met in a field out in England. As of 2016, they're taking Shambush and the most Wuthering Heights day ever to the world. In capital cities and countries around the world, fans will be converging in a local park to bring to life the Wuthering Heights video. Can you imagine 300 plus fans, male, female, wearing red dresses and doing some very interesting interpretive dance? I'm doing something a little bit different to the other events. I'm also running a Kate Bush tribute show after this. Join us on Saturday the 16th of July from 2 p.m. Meet at Bedford Park, Spring Hill, in your red dresses, and we'll practice the routines, go through an instructional, and then reenact the song several times across the course of the afternoon. It'll be a fun afternoon for all ages. For those of you 18 plus who'd like to keep kicking on, there's a Kate Bush tribute party at New Globe Theatre from 6 p.m. that same day. From $16 per person, see a collection of Kate Bush music videos on the big screen, interwoven with Brisbane cabaret performers performing some of her biggest hits. The tribute party is selling very fast, so I'd recommend jumping onto christianfletcher.com for more information about that and about the most Wuthering Heights day ever. We look forward to seeing you there. This is going to be a great, fun community event, and it's only a gold coin donation to participate. What a perfect way to celebrate Kate Bush's birthday this July. Hi, it's Christian Fletcher here, and as always, there's so many upcoming events. I'm currently in Melbourne taking the B-Movies live concept on the road with a reworked version of Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster. But when I get back, on Wednesday the 6th of July, we have Comedy Commentary Cinema. You may remember we launched that back in May with Samurai Cop. We have the 1982 trash horror cult classic Slumber Party Massacre. Two local comedians will be performing an hilarious live commentary over the movie. If you've always wanted to yell out things at the screen, if you just wanted to do something like you'd do at, say, a Rocky Horror screening or a screening of The Room, these screenings are for you. Tickets are $10 and we're only limited to about 20 people, so I recommend pre-booking at stickytickets.com.au. As we mentioned earlier, the Kate Bush Most Wuthering Heights Day Ever and Tribute Party is on Saturday the 16th of July and tickets are selling fast for that. B-Movies Live, Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster, is doing its final show back at Padre Bar in Woolloongabba. This is on Thursday the 21st of July, 7:30 p.m. Again, limited seating, only about 24 I think, so I'd recommend getting onto my website and booking for that now. That will be the last chance to see the live reenactment of Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster before the B-Movies Live team put that to bed and move on to a new live reenactment of a B-grade movie. How about 3 hours of your favourite Michael Jackson and Jackson 5 videos on the big screen? Friday the 29th of July from 8:30 p.m, tickets are $12 and bring a friend for free. See such classic music videos as Billie Jean, Thriller and many more on the big screen. That's at New Globe Theatre on the 29th of July. It's the 40th anniversary of the hit ABBA song, Dancing Queen. Yes, the Swedish pop duos are celebrating that milestone and we are screening a whole heap of rare footage, clips, music videos and performance rarities on the big screen at New Globe Theatre on Tuesday the 9th of August. Tuesday, you ask? Don't worry, it's Eka show holiday the next day, so you don't need to be home early. That kicks off at 7 p.m. and we'd love to see you there. Tickets are available now through ticketbooth.com.au. And hey, looking ahead a couple of months, we've got the 11th annual Brisbane Madonna Party. Australia's biggest and longest running Madonna Party celebrates the Queen of Pop's birthday. From 7 p.m. at the Wickham Hotel on Saturday the 20th of August, we'll be playing nothing but Madonna from the 80s, 90s, 2000s and now. I recommend pre-booking as it's $15 per person or it's $20 at the door. Get on board, we had over 300 people turn up last year and this year will be no exception. For more details about this and my upcoming events, visit www.christianfletcher.com or check out my Facebook page, Christian Fletcher Events. I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you so much for listening to The Rufus Project. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed putting it together, and we would love to hear from you. You can send us an email to our brand new fancy shiny email, podcast@rufusproject.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook by searching for The Rufus Project, or head to our homepage, rufusproject.com. I must stress, now is a really good time to keep an eye on that website because, as I mentioned earlier, we have got some changes coming through, and that is actually going to include a new podcast feed. Don't worry, I'm going to keep the old one and the new one running parallel for quite some time. At the moment, you can subscribe to the new feed through our website, but as soon as I have it available on iTunes, I will be letting you guys know. So that's actually going to be the Rufus Project podcast. And yes, at some point you will have to upgrade, but not just yet. It's okay. And why should you subscribe, I hear you say? Well, next week we've got our redeeming features cast. And I picked this one. It is my fault. I am seriously afraid of what I am subjecting myself and Christian to. We're going to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 2014. Here's a little taste of what we're subjecting ourselves to.
Surveillance is showing heavy Foot Clan activity.
If they're taking hostages,
let's rock and roll.
Talking about
like shadows in the night, you
completely
unseen.
Who's
that? It's a camera.
Give me the camera.
Oh, look, he's doing his Batman voice.
Back off, Ram.
Do not say a word about this to anyone. If you do, we will find you.
Yeah, we'll find you.
I'm sorry, that came across super creepy, okay? That's. We will find you, though.
I guess it was only a matter of time before we got to a Michael Bay movie. Oh, that's going to be such a hard thing to say next week. Anyway, onwards and upwards. If you have anything you would like to say about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 2014, let us know by sending an email through to podcast@rufusproject.com. I'll just plug that one again. Or through Twitter or Facebook. We'd love to hear your redeeming or irredeemable features for that movie. Now, the moral of this podcast is, if you use a cloud-based storage service and expect to use it as a hosting service for a website, expect there to be problems. Please learn from my mistakes. See you next time.